We rise. On the occasion of Mother's Day, it's fitting to think about the battlefield and what it means to face the challenges, whether it's losing a mother or losing a child, or being thankful for what you have in your family and facing the day-to-day struggles, we think about what it means to be super conquerors. The thoughts I'll be sharing today in the sermon come from a sermon that was delivered by Pastor Paul Naumann at the 2012 CLC Convention. I'll share the thoughts of that sermon as adapted for you and your spiritual welfare today. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The word of God that we consider comes from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This word of God is spoken for you. In the name of our Redeemer God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The shepherd David was an unlikely candidate to be considered a conqueror. He comes out onto the battlefield wearing next to no armor, a shepherd, small, carrying nothing but a slingshot. And there on the other side of the field stands the mighty Goliath, a seasoned warrior who had killed many men, and now is wearing his heavy battle armor and holding a huge sword. The odds-on favorite, you would say, has got to be Goliath. By all appearances, it was an easy conquest, except for one important factor that the giant overlooked. God was on David's side. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." The world may have thought of Goliath as a conqueror, but with God on his side, David was a super conqueror. And you are too. In verse 37, we have that phrase, "We are more than conquerors." What takes several words in English actually only takes one word in Greek. Huper nikomen, meaning hyper conqueror or super conqueror. More than just a conqueror, you are super conquerors. But it leaves us with a curious paradox, because as we look at our lives and we look at what goes on in the world, it doesn't seem that way. The suffering that Christians face is oftentimes much more than it seems other people have to face. Persecution, loss, adversity. And we don't feel much like conquerors, do we? Would anyone notice if we just slipped off the battlefield and went and hid? But here, God reveals what appearances do not. The reality that we are stepping into the victor's chariot with Christ, and we do have all the fruits of his triumph. In Christ, we are super conquerors. We can be opposed, but we can't be defeated. We can be accused, but we can't be condemned. We can be persecuted for Jesus' sake, but we can't be separated from Jesus' love. There have been many conquerors in history. 5 centuries before Paul, there was a conqueror named Leonidas. He was the king of Sparta, and he led the great Spartan army. He was considered a great conqueror. That was until 480 BC, when the Persian army came to face him in the mountain pass of Thermopylae. There, he was defeated, and his 300 Spartans were slain. No one was left living. Now, the world might have thought Leonidas was a conqueror, but we are super conquerors. Paul asks the question, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who could possibly oppose us or defeat us? Well, if the truth is, we will be opposed. That will come, but we won't be defeated. But that brings us a challenging question. Why don't we live like conquerors? Why don't we live like this is true for us? Why are we so often like Peter on the water when we see the waves billowing up and the wind blowing and we get afraid and we start to sink? And Jesus has to say, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why do you doubt me?" God's salvation, his love toward us, his protection, his providential care, his promises, it all is beyond the realm of doubt. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also give us all things? Mothers would probably know this quite well. There's not much you wouldn't do for your children. You want to give them whatever is good for them, whatever they need. And even to the point where maybe a parent would lay down their own life. But what would it take for you to hand your child over? To give your own child up? And worse yet, not just for somebody that loves you, that you love, but for an enemy. But that's just what God did. He gave up his own son, delivered him up for us sinners. And that is what makes us truly invulnerable. The love of God in Christ. So that we can be certain he will withhold nothing good from us. He's given up his own son. In Christ, we are super conquerors. Erich von Manstein was another conqueror. For years, he was Hitler's top general, and he was a great force for the German armies in World War II. Some say that if he had been in charge rather than Hitler, Germany might have won the war. But where did he end up when it was all said and done? He stands in a courtroom convicted of war crimes, convicted, condemned to years in prison. So here, von Manstein might have been thought by some to be a conqueror, but compared to us, he's nothing. For we are super conquerors. We can be accused, but we can never be condemned. The Apostle Paul is bringing us into the courtroom, and as a Pharisee, he would have known this courtroom terminology. He was originally a lawyer, and he knew this kind of language that he uses in verse 33 and 34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It's not that we'll never be accused. We are going to be accused. The devil is going to accuse you. But what does he have against you? The world's going to accuse you. But what do you owe to the world? They're going to accuse Christians of all sorts of things, right or wrong. But what do you owe them? Your own conscience is going to accuse you. But have you really sinned against your conscience? The plaintiff in this case is God. God is the one who has been offended. He's the one whose law has been broken. That's why we come in repentance. Like the tax collector, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God is the one who is offended, and God is the one who forgives, who justifies, who declares you not guilty for Christ's sake, who overturns his own decision to bring you peace. As the banners over here say from this verse, who can condemn? Christ has risen. Who can overturn this decision? Who can reopen the case that's already been closed on the cross and in the grave and in the resurrection? No one. In Christ, we are super conquerors, for we can be accused, but we can't be condemned. There's another conqueror that the French knew very well. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon Bonaparte might be considered the greatest leader in all of history, and yet what happened in the Battle of Waterloo, and where did he end up? In 1815, his enemies finally caught up with him, and the conqueror was conquered. He was sent away to St. Helena, where he was oppressed and persecuted, separated from his family and his country, and there he died 6 years later. Many would say Bonaparte was conqueror, but we are super conquerors. For though we can be persecuted for Jesus' sake, we can never be separated from Jesus' love. The question again is rhetorical. Paul asks these questions expecting the answer, no, nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's not saying they won't try. In fact, they're going to try very hard. From tribulation to distress to persecution to famine to nakedness to peril and even to the sword. It's a downward spiral that ends in martyrdom, the death of a Christian. Notice the progression. It begins with tribulation, which is a pressure being put on from other sides outside of yourself, from the government, from society. And then it moves to distress, a narrowing of your abilities, restrictions placed on your life, your freedoms, your rights. Then comes outright persecution, where your property is actually taken away from you. And finally, physical peril, imprisonment, and at the end, the executioner's sword. This was something that was real for these Christians. And it's something that's not too far-fetched for you. As you look at the progression of things in the government and society, how far off is it? When you see your own freedoms taken away, pressure on Christians to change with the times, the ridicule of the Christian faith being commonplace, how could we be conquerors in such times? Famine, nakedness, peril, sword. It seems a strange way of conquering, yet think of how Jesus did it. How did Jesus conquer? It was through that very same thing, suffering, distress, persecution, and death. That was his path to victory. From Gethsemane to Gabbatha to Golgotha, he stepped into your place and he conquered all your enemies, sin and death and hell. And it's proven in the fact that Christ has risen. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the greatest conquest is yet to come. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Christ's love will win out in the end. He who has begun a good work will not let anything stop it from being completed, not even an angel or demon or height or depth or any other created thing could stop the Creator from doing what he wants to do with his creation. Can anything stand against us? Not even the cross was enough to separate Christ from his love for you. Not even death or sin. Because he has risen, you too will rise. And this means that not even death itself can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Even in death, and especially in death, we are super conquerors. One final emperor we'll consider is Julian. He was a Roman emperor who was known for his persecution against Christians, a pagan governor who spent most of his life trying to extinguish the Christian faith. That was until the Battle of Samara. In 363 AD, Julian faced his own demise. And in his dying words, he quoted that Greek word we read at the beginning, Nenikikas me Galilean. You have conquered me, O Galilean. Christ is the conqueror. And history has shown it. But his greatest conquest is not in the things we see in outward appearance, but in what he's done with your heart. To redeem a sinner like you and me, we are now drawn into his conquest so that we can respond with love and thanksgiving. You have conquered me, O Galilean. His love has conquered us and made us conquerors too, so that in fact, in Christ, we are super conquerors. We can be opposed, but we can't be defeated. We can be accused, but we can't be condemned. And we can be persecuted for Jesus' sake, but we can never be separated from Jesus' love. As the hymn we're about to sing says, if God himself be for me, I may a host defy, for when I pray before me, my foes confounded fly. If Christ my head and master befriend me from above, no foe and no disaster can drive me from his love. Amen.